This episode is powered by Poddex. Poddex are unique interview questions and episode starting prompts in the palm of your hand. So whether you're a new podcaster or existing broadcaster looking to grow your audience and have more meaningful conversations, you're going to want to check out Poddex. Now, if you want to get 10% off your order right now, you can go to poddex.com and type in coupon code. What's the code?
Larry21.
Yes, that's the code. Check out poddex.com. Take your podcast to the next level.
Welcome to the Talkin' Texas Rangers podcast, where we dive into the latest rumors and news surrounding Texas Rangers baseball.
Before we dive into today's episode, we'd like to remind you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Just search the Talkin' Texas Rangers podcast. Without further ado, let's dive into today's episode. First topic, what will it cost for the Rangers to re-sign Jordan Montgomery? News came out on Sunday morning, just before the NFL games, that Aaron Nola will be returning to Philadelphia for the long term. The 30-year-old right-hander agreed to a 7-year contract with $172 million. According to John Heyman of the New York Post, Nola met with other teams and turned down more money to stay in Philadelphia. He chose to stay with a team that was in the World Series in 2022 and a win away from making it back to the World Series in 2023. This choice by Nola could lead to a certain free agent left-hander also choosing to stay with the team that he finished the season with. Now that Texas has an idea of what Montgomery is worth on the free market, would it be smart to bring him back for those years and at that cost? Aaron Nola and Jordan Montgomery do share one thing in common. That is they are both 30 years old. Montgomery is about 6 months older than Nola. Montgomery will be turning 31 next month, while Nola will be 30 until next June. The age difference is pretty negligible between these two pitchers. The thing going against Nola is there is much more wear and tear on his arm compared to Montgomery. Nola in his career has pitched in parts of 9 seasons prior to reaching free agency. He's thrown over 1,400 innings in his career. That does not include the innings he has thrown in the postseason. Montgomery has played in parts of 7 seasons and only thrown 755 innings. The main question Texas has to ask about Montgomery when considering his contract is how will Montgomery age over the life of the contract? A large contract could hinder the franchise if by year 2 or 3 Montgomery is not living up to it or is getting hurt. In his career, Montgomery has been very reliable. He did miss the majority of the 2018 and 2019 seasons with Tommy John surgery. That missed time has saved some innings on his arm. When healthy, he regularly makes his start. 29 is the fewest amount of starts he has made in a season when he has been healthy, and that was in 2017. He has been 30 or more starts since 2021. Montgomery does not rely on an overpowering fastball to record outs. His average four-seam fastball and sinking fastball were at 93 miles per hour in 2023. That was a career high for Montgomery. He also gets outs with a great changeup and curveball. Montgomery, as he ages, should be able to adjust if he does lose some velocity by leaning more on the curveball or changeup and being able to spot his fastball and sinker. I'm not too concerned about how good he will be at age 35, 36, or even 37. I would be more concerned about Nola, truthfully, and how he will age than I am about Montgomery. I know the argument will be Texas needs to focus on its bullpen this offseason. They need a DH to replace Mitch Garver. Texas also needs to reinforce its starting rotation. I'm sure Texas was hoping that pitchers like Jack Leiter, Owen White, and Kumar Rocker would have all been ready to step up in time for 2024. None of them took that step forward in 2023 that the team was hoping for, and in Rocker's case, he likely will not pitch until late in the 2024 season. Texas will need to fill out the rotation once again in free agency or through the trade market. The Phillies chose to give Nolan a 7-year, $172 million contract, which works out to almost $25 million per year. Let's start at that average value for Montgomery as a starting point. That would immediately put Montgomery as the second highest paid pitcher on the team, behind DeGrom, and ahead of the $16 million that Nathan Eovaldi will make. Montgomery will likely go into 2023, either as the opening day starter or will start the second game of the season. I do not think he will be overpaid at that amount per season. One thing we have seen from Montgomery throughout his career is that he will start 30 times, he'll throw more than 150 innings, and win around 10 games, while also having an ERA in the low 3s or high 2s. He is a winning pitcher who gives his team a chance to win nearly every time he takes the mound. That is evidenced by Montgomery having 20 quality starts in the 32 starts he's made in 2023. If you look at the numbers, Montgomery might just be entering the prime of his career. Montgomery had a career low ERA in 2023 at 3.20. That includes a 2.79 ERA after the trade to Texas. Then he put up a 1.29 ERA in the ALCS and picked up 2 wins and 3 appearances. He had that memorable game one that saw him retire Yordan Alvarez in 4 plate appearances against the Astros slugger. All of these numbers point towards a progression from Montgomery rather than regression. There is a good chance that if Texas does sign Montgomery for $24 to $25 million per season, that it is looked as a bargain in the next few years. Now that we have an idea of what the market says a pitcher at Montgomery's skill level is worth, I think we can make a guess on what he will end up signing for. There have been reports that he is interested in coming back. If Montgomery does end up coming back to Texas, I'm going to say he signs a 6-year, $150 million contract with an option for a 7th season based on innings pitched that would take it to 7-year, $170 million. Montgomery could sign a bigger contract. I'm guessing Boston would go higher than that. Orioles might be at or higher than that number. If Montgomery wants to come back and try to keep winning, then I think Texas can justify spending that much while also not hampering the pursuit of bullpen options or DH options as well. I'm thinking with Nola off the board, we could start to see more free agent movement, maybe early on Tuesday or before the Thanksgiving holiday. Would not be surprised to see more players come off the board before the winter meetings in December. Montgomery could certainly be one of them now that we know how many years it might take to sign him and how much per season he could demand. Let us know your thoughts on Jordan Montgomery. Do you think the Rangers will re-sign him, or will he end up going somewhere else? Let us know. Now on to our next topic. Popular baseball site has given no respect to the Texas Rangers in their 2024 power rankings. For the record, I love the baseball website FanGraphs and refer to their content on an occasional basis, but sometimes they can get a little too by the numbers on some of their takes. Their first shot at the 2024 power rankings is a perfect example. FanGraphs has the World Series champion Texas Rangers ranked as the 12th best team in MLB and the 9th in the AL. It's a bit laughable and shows no respect for the playoff appearance and massive run through the postseason that ended with the franchise's first ever World Series victory. Power rankings in general are hard to do, and especially this far out from the beginning of the new season. With roster spots still to be filled on most teams, the overall makeup of any given team can be much different coming out of spring training as opposed to the middle of November. The questionable part of this particular first crack at a power ranking is that it seems not to give a ton of credit to the huge amount of Ranger players that are returning. Last season's Texas Rangers offense scored the most runs in the American League at 881. Was third overall behind only the Braves and Dodgers. Not only did the Rangers offense do well last year, but they will be returning all of their starters, with the lone exception at DH. The team will have a new DH in 2024, and it is yet to be determined who will fill that role. But with all the other pieces in place, it's hard to believe that the Rangers will fall off very far offensively. One of the hardest parts of baseball to measure is defense. There have been numerous attempts over the years, and while it is better than it used to be, there is still a disconnect between how a defense plays and the numerical value that is placed on it. But one thing that can't be argued is the fact that the Rangers were one of the best defensive teams in MLB last season. With all 8 of the regular defenders coming back for 2024, that will prove to be a strength yet again. Pitching is always about the pitching. The Rangers do have some holes that need to be filled in the rotation, and the bullpen needs a few arms added as well. With that being said, when a team can start with a core base of Nathan Eovaldi, Max Scherzer, John Gray, still have Dane Dunning and Andrew Haney as possible fifth starters, things are not all that bad. And in the bullpens, the Rangers have found that a healthy Josh Spores and Jose Leclerc can handle the best lineups in the biggest situations in baseball. Chris Young will be adding to the pitching side of the roster, and when he does, I'm sure that the Rangers will move up to this power rankings a bit. It just seems disrespectful to what the Rangers were able to do in 2023 to predict that they will do so much worse in 2024. The Rangers had 90 wins in 2023, with a Pythagorean win total of 96. Fangraphs currently has the Rangers accumulating only 83 wins. That seems on the light side to me. Do I think that they will win the World Series next year? No way am I going to go there. I would say that the Rangers have a legit shot at making the playoffs, and yet we should realize that even that is a guarantee. Just take a look at the Mets and Padres. Time will tell, and I'm sure that it will be interesting to see how it all strikes out. The Texas Rangers are losing Bally Sports, and while it's good for the fans, it's also bad for the team. The era of regional sports networks running the game is seemingly coming to an end, and it could have an effect short-term on the World Series champion Texas Rangers. A U.S. federal-approved plan by Diamond Sports that could potentially bring to an end the bankruptcy proceedings, the plan involves handing back the media rights to the 11 MLB teams it broadcasts by the end of the 2024 season. Fans rejoice at the thought of being able to watch their favorite teams without having to sign up for a cable or streaming service. The game is going to be returned to the fans, taken away from the cable providers. Cord cutters now will be able to access their favorite teams' games more easily. Everything is good, right? Not quite. This is probably better news for the fans than it is for the franchises. As reported by The Athletic, Texas Ranger fans might see a change in the TV broadcast as soon as the start of the 2024 season. Diamond Sports lawyer said this in court regarding their plans for the upcoming season, saying, quote, "Our intention is to broadcast almost all of our Major League Baseball teams next year. There are a few, very few, for which we do not have agreements in place. And that, frankly, at this point, are too expensive for us to broadcast without concessions. I am told that those discussions are taking place. There have been reach-outs to both of the teams involved. Texas played hardball in 2023 and were willing to walk away if Diamond did not pay them in full. If that is still their stance, then they will not negotiate with Diamond for a lower payment for the upcoming season. It stands to reason that Diamond will walk away from their coverage of the Texas Rangers in 2024. I think it warrants examining what this could mean for the Texas Rangers going forward and what benefits the fans could see as part of this news." So what this means for the Rangers in the short term? The World Series champion Texas Rangers will likely not see any effect from this move this offseason. Bally Sports has already paid Texas its full amount for this past season. Texas was also able to bring in additional revenue through 6 playoff home sellouts, concessions, merchandising, and suite sales during the postseason. I do not see Texas having to make drastic reductions in payroll like the Padres and Guardians are having to make. San Diego is apparently trying to slash their payroll by $50 million in Cleveland. DFA'd Cal Quantrill this week because of his rising salary and arbitration and the uncertainty in their media rights with Bally Sports. The one area this could impact Texas is how much salary Texas is willing to add this offseason. Their agreement with Bally paid the team $111 million per season, and Texas still has several years left on the agreement. That revenue source will go from $111 million to something significantly lower. It's too early to say what this means as far as what Texas will be looking to do. This could take them out of the Shohei Ohtani chase and maybe Josh Hader. Texas can still be active and add to the roster, they just might not be looking at the top of the market players they have for the last two offseasons. It's just going to force Chris Young to be more creative and looking to add players for less than maybe take a discount to play for the World Series champion Texas Rangers. The second question that the Rangers ownership and front office will have to answer is if they are willing to remain a team that is having to pay the competitive balance tax. Texas in 2023 was in excess of $242 million in Texas payroll. The competitive balance tax in 2023 was set at $233 million. So Texas will have to pay a penalty for being in excess of that number. They did win the World Series, so I'm sure ownership will not mind paying this penalty. Question becomes, will ownership support being over the tax for a second year? Penalties do increase every time a team goes over the tax line. Teams will have to pay 20% tax for going over the tax line, increasing to 30% for a second year, and then 50% in the third year. I believe ownership will support going over the tax for a second year, but they may not support going over a third year. Chris Young will likely have to find a way to spend money for 2024, with a plan of getting back under the tax in 2025. The Texas Rangers front office will not have it easy this winter. Their desire will be to spend to put together a roster that can challenge for and win another World Series. The financial realities of losing Bally Sports will be in conflict with that desire. Chris Young will have to walk a tightrope putting together a good roster while also not exhausting all of the Rangers' financial resources. It's not going to be easy. But how is this a win for Texas Ranger fans? Bally Sports from day one had one arm tied behind its back when it came to covering Texas Rangers baseball. Bally was in charge of the television distribution for the Rangers. The in-market streaming rights belonged to the team. The out-of-market streaming rights belonged to MLB. Bally has spent considerable time and resources launching Bally Sports Plus. It was their subscription streaming service that they charged upwards of $20 per month. They sold fans on being able to watch their favorite teams without having to have a cable service. If you are a fan of the Mavericks, Oklahoma City Thunder, or Dallas Stars, then you can watch their games. If you were a fan of the Rangers, you could not. The Rangers and MLB refused to hand over the streaming rights to Bally Sports as the company went through bankruptcy proceedings through the prior season. It became increasingly difficult for fans to access Bally Sports unless they were signed up for cable or had a DirecTV subscription. The ability for much of the fan base to watch Texas Rangers games did not exist. Bally Sports was not carried on YouTube TV or Hulu Live. It will be good news for fans if this agreement is finalized in court in the coming weeks. The Rangers have been trying to get their media rights back since April of 2023. Now they might get them back this offseason. Texas would then be able to go to market, having just won the World Series, and try to negotiate carriage agreements throughout Texas, a regional viewing area. They would also be able to sell in-market streaming subscriptions for cord cutters. Texas will have the opportunity to sell its team to a much wider audience than is currently able to consume Texas Rangers baseball. The downside of this is that when all the contracts are signed, it will likely be for far less than $111 million that Texas was scheduled to collect in 2024. The ability to market their product to more people will widen their reach across Texas and the Southwest region. It will lead to more people consuming their product, more people watching their games, more people buying their merchandise. If ever there was a good time for this to happen, it is now. The high of winning the World Series and selling networks on being the home of the World Series Texas Rangers will lead to deals being struck. Short term will be a financial hit for Texas. It could impact what they are able to do this winter. There will be less money coming to the team. It's a winner for the fans and good for the game. Most people being able to watch the Rangers play is always better than fewer people being able to watch them. So let us know your thoughts on this potential change in the comment section below. And without further ado, let's dive into our next topic. We're going to dive into our dream Texas Rangers bullpen for the upcoming season.
This has been the Talkin' Texas Rangers podcast. Let us know your thoughts on the topics we covered by tweeting us at Talkin' TX Rangers or liking us on Facebook at facebook.com/Talkin' Texas Rangers. As always, thank you for listening, and go Rangers!